Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from them getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. everyone, and welcome back to another night here on the Proof Negative Radio Show here on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday, so I'll be here sharing various New World Order newses. We're going to play a bunch of clips. We'll probably take some calls. I'll give out the number later. So, yeah, B is out today, so it's just us. And one thing I did want to do today, hot off the press, we have Tucker Carlson that just got done with his show today. Since it's not like he did a whole hour or anything, so I'm going to play that here in just a moment once I can confirm that it's fully uploaded here. Okay, which it is. It's about 12 minutes, so we'll go ahead and play this early here. So without further ado.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. Let's say you wanted to control a country. How would you start? Well, you'd want to make sure you had the complete obedience of everybody inside your borders who was authorized to use deadly force. You would start with the military and then federal law enforcement, then move your way down ultimately to agencies like the IRS. Controlling the guns would be a top priority for you if you ever wanted to go dictatorial, if you wanted to be baby doc. But let's say you had deeper ambitions. Let's say you wanted the power not simply to control people's behavior, but to control how they think, not just their bodies, but their minds, as a god would. In that case, you need to take charge of the society's taboos. A taboo is something that by popular consensus is not allowed. A taboo may not be illegal, but it doesn't need to be. Over time, social prohibitions are more powerful and more enduring than laws. Societies are defined by what they will not permit, as are famously religions. Muslims don't eat pork, neither do Orthodox Jews. Traditional Christians oppose extramarital sex. The Amish avoid electricity, and so on. American society isn't overtly religious, but it's governed by taboos, and it always has been. What's interesting is how fast our taboos are changing. This is not happening organically. What we're allowed to dislike is being dictated to us from above, sometimes by force. Until fairly recently, for example, it was taboo in this country to attack people on the basis of their race. That was the main lesson of the Second World War, we were told again and again. The one thing we learned from the Nazis is that it's dangerous to reduce human beings to their genetic code. There is no master race. That made sense, but apparently we no longer believe it. Punishing people based on their skin color is not only permitted in modern America, it is mandatory throughout business and government and higher education, as long as the victims are white. At one time, that would have been unimaginable. So the current behavior of our politicians. As recently as the 1992 presidential campaign, adultery was considered disqualifying for anyone seeking higher office. Bill Clinton was very nearly derailed in the New Hampshire primary by his affair with Jennifer Flowers. Clinton went to elaborate lengths to lie about the relationship because he had no choice. But he was the last presidential candidate who had to meet this standard. By 2008, it was obvious to anybody who was paying attention that Barack Obama had a strange and highly creepy personal life. Yet nobody ever asked him about it. By that point, a leader's behavior within his own marriage, the core relationship of his life, had been declared irrelevant. It was Barack Obama's business, not yours. One by one, with increasing speed, our old taboos have been struck down. Those that remain have lost their moral force. Stealing, flaunting your wealth, striking women, smoking marijuana on the street, shameless public hypocrisy, taking other people's money for not working. All of these things used to be considered unacceptable in America, not anymore. So it probably shouldn't surprise us that the greatest taboo of all is teetering on the edge of acceptability, child molestation. A generation ago, talking to someone else's children about sex was widely considered grounds for a thrashing. Touching them sexually was effectively a death penalty offense. When Jeffrey Dahmer was bludgeoned to death in the bathroom of a Wisconsin prison in 1994, the Milwaukee district attorney had to caution the public not to turn Dahmer's killer into a folk hero. Jeffrey Dahmer had molested and murdered children. People felt justified in celebrating his death. 25 years later, that standard had changed dramatically in the state of Wisconsin, as in the rest of the country. In the summer of 2020, during the BLM riots in Kenosha, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse defended his life from a convicted child molester called Joseph Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum was trying to kill Rittenhouse, so Rittenhouse shot him in self-defense. But it was Joseph Rosenbaum whom the media cast as the victim of the story. Kyle Rittenhouse, meanwhile, an underage boy fending off violence from a child molester, was denounced as the villain. Ultimately, he was indicted for murder. One of the things that this tells us is the people who run our country no longer see child molesters as the worst among us. It's never been more obvious than it was yesterday when the Wall Street Journal ran a long expose about kiddie porn on Instagram. Instagram, the journal found, quote, helps connect and promote a vast network of accounts openly devoted to the commission and purchase of underage sex content. Instagram connects pedophiles and connects them to content sellers of child pornography. In one instance, the paper discovered that Instagram was recommending the phrase incest toddlers to users who'd expressed interest in similar material. By the way, no one at Instagram denied that any of this had happened, nor did Mark Zuckerberg, who controls the company. The journal story was accurate. It was all pretty shocking, but not as shocking as what happened next, which was effectively nothing at all. The largest circulation newspaper in the United States revealed that one of the world's most influential companies was promoting pedophilia, and nobody in power did anything about it. The Justice Department did not announce an investigation. Congress did not schedule hearings. The guy who runs Instagram, Adam Mosseri, still has his job. In fact, Mosseri's last tweet, which is pinned, is a video of himself bragging about how effective Instagram's algorithm is. Keep in mind as you watch this, it's real.
People often talk about the algorithm, but there is no one algorithm for Instagram. There are many algorithms and ranking processes we use to try to personalize the experience to make it as interesting as we can for each and every person who uses Instagram. We believe in this idea of personalization. What you're interested in and what I'm interested in is different, and so therefore your Instagram and my Instagram should be different.
What you're interested in and what I'm interested in is different, Mosseri explains patiently. So your Instagram feed will be different from mine. You're interested in children, that's why you're getting all the incest toddler posts. It's a highly personalized experience. That tweet is still up tonight. Of course, everybody at Instagram, in fact, everyone everywhere in authority, will still claim to think that child molestation is bad, but the tone has changed unmistakably. When they say it's bad, they mean it in a kind of abstract way, bad like a civil war in Central Africa is bad. You wouldn't prefer it, but there are reasons it happens. That's why we now refer to pedophiles as minor attracted persons, because honestly, who can judge? These people are a sexual minority, so pause before you attack them. And in any case, it's not like pedophiles are barging into the Capitol building to sit in Nancy Pelosi's chair or asking uncomfortable questions about the last election. For miscreants like that, no punishment is too harsh. So far this month, the FBI's Washington field office has issued 11 press releases. 10 out of 11 have been about January 6th. Keep in mind that January 6th happened more than 2.5 years ago. Now you know why the feds were ignoring kid touchers on Instagram. They're too busy to respond. They've got much more important things to do, like finding white supremacists. White supremacists are America's new child molesters. We've got zero tolerance for white supremacists because no one threatens the life of this country more than they do. Here's Joe Biden once again making that very clear last month.
To stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
Pardon the feedback, but you heard the point. White supremacy is the most dangerous threat to the American homeland. Joe Biden just told us that. It's more dangerous than the threat of nuclear war with Russia. It's more dangerous than the threat of the Mexican drug cartels, who've already killed hundreds of thousands of Americans and are now in control of swaths of our southwestern states. White supremacy is that bad, Joe Biden says. In fact, it's worse. But what is it? That's the question. Can anyone in authority actually define white supremacy? What is it? Is white supremacy liking white people too much? If so, that's going to put those of us with white children in a pretty tough spot. Or is white supremacy something much more obviously bad, like trying to expel all non-whites from America and creating some kind of ethno-state? If that's Joe Biden's definition, what exactly is the scope of this threat? How many people are currently working on this American white ethno-state project? And what are the chances they're going to pull it off? Our guess is not very many and precisely zero. But we can't say for sure because no one has showed us the numbers. These are not rhetorical questions. When the President of the United States describes something as the worst possible crime Americans can commit, you have a right to know what that crime is. You used to have that right. Under our pre-revolutionary legal code before George Floyd, questions like these were easy to answer. A crime was defined as something that an elected legislature had explicitly banned, usually an act that hurt somebody else. In America, crimes were described precisely with words in English and then preserved in books, which you could read yourself. If you ever wondered whether you were committing a crime, you could just look it up. You could know for sure whether you were a criminal. Now you can't. And needless to say, that's the point. The point of the exercise is to keep you off balance, to keep you afraid. When no one's willing to define the offense, you can't be sure whether or not you're committing it. You could be accused at any time and everything you have taken from you. You live in fear. Remember this guy?
Emmanuel Cafferty was driving near a Black Lives Matter protest in Poway in his SDG&E truck when he says he noticed somebody following him and trying to get his attention. Later, that person posted a picture of him making what some believed is a white supremacy symbol on Twitter. Cafferty says he had no idea about any white power symbols and was just cracking his knuckles outside his window when the picture was taken of him. Later that day, he says he was notified by SDG&E that he would be suspended pending an investigation, and a few days later, he was fired.
What that man did was so offensive, as you just saw, that local news had to blur the photograph of his hand. He was fired from his job. His life was destroyed for cracking his knuckles. He didn't know cracking his knuckles was racist in his defense, but then nobody did until the day that poor Emmanuel Cafferty was unwise enough to crack them. When a crime has no definition, anyone can be guilty of it. It's hard to relax in a country like that. The old system was better. Government operated on the basis of laws, not amorphous moral terror. Politicians couldn't accuse you of something they couldn't define. The legal code was straightforward. Child molestation was a crime. Having unfashionable opinions was not. Outside of the public sphere, the population mostly governed itself, as it does in every society, and used taboos to do it. You knew what was allowed and what wasn't because the rules didn't change very often. The taboos were organic. They derived from collective experience and instinct, the two most reliable guides to life. They evolved for a reason. They still do. Our job at this point is to protect them, despite the hectoring, the nonstop hectoring from the people in charge. You know the outlines of right and wrong. You're born knowing them. So don't let them talk you out of what you can smell. Don't let them rationalize away your intuitive moral sense. Cling to your taboos like your life depends on them, because it does. Cherish and protect them like family heirlooms. That's exactly what they are.
Younger people say the news is full of lies.
And Kennedy's motorcade.
239 death of Jeffrey Epstein.
Look at this. You're in London. You're on a business trip. You're staying in Greenwich. And you want to buy some food. So you go into the local Aldi's, like this one, and you think, I'm going to go in here and buy some food so I can feed myself. And then you approach the barrier and look. You can't even get in the shop without having a QR code to scan here or to scan here. and then you can go in and buy things. Now this looks to me like the beginning stages of the digital prison that we keep talking about. What do you think?
So, that last clip there was regarding Aldi in Europe. So you're not allowed in the building unless you have a QR code to scan. So for all those people that are laughing and saying that there's no way that's going to happen here, or that they can't do that, why can't they force people to get QR codes and then microchips? They are doing it. We're showing videos of it. All right, let me go ahead and get another. I want to get some Chip Roy stuff in here. So this is why the feds are banning gas stoves.
Yeah. Well, thank the chairman. Just a quick question for the gentleman from South Carolina. The two bills that we've got before us, one from Mr. Armstrong, one from Ms. Lesko, and all the various co-sponsors, to the best of my understanding, they are largely prophylactic, sort of preventing an overreach, and then with certain kind of criteria, correct? In other words, prohibiting DOE from implementing conservation standards for kitchen ranges or ovens if the standards result in the unavailability of a product based on the type of fuel the product consumes, right? In other words, saying, hey, you're rattling a lot down there, and you can say, oh, whatever, it was just a misspeak. Well, it's a misspeak by a federal official with an entire agency under that federal official saying, yeah, yeah, maybe we'll ban gas stoves. So is it not true that the legislation in question has caveats about the reach of the purpose of the legislation, right? It's saying, hey, we want to do X in order to prevent Y. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct.
And that's not true with both pieces of legislation, correct?
That's correct.
In other words, they would still allow, what for better or worse, by the way, different question. They would still allow regulators to regulate. They just wouldn't allow them to regulate such that the extreme happens, that consumers are unable to get the products that they want.
That's correct.
And so I think that's kind of the question that I think is most important. And the exchange a minute ago with my friend from Kentucky about wanting to substitute our expertise, and we've had this exchange before here, and we just had it with respect to the RAINS Act, is my friend from South Carolina agree that the point here is about Congress saying, wait a second, like, no, this is like our fundamental job under Article 1 to go say, hey, bureaucrat, you are down there saying X. You're an expert. You're just God's gift to all things gas and energy and whatever. You're the genius, right? You're the one who knows everything. We bumpkins sitting out in our little farms in, you know, Texas or wherever, we're a bunch of idiots. We're all going to die from stuff if you're not there protecting me. All those things. You're the genius. Are we not just saying, hold on a second, is there some check on the genius? Is there some check on whoever it is down there in the Department of Energy or whatever saying, hey, Chip, you just can't have that gas-burning stove in your house that's been there since you've been alive. Or, you know, the gas-fired stove that your grandfather cooked fried fish on, you know, for 80 years. You can't, you know, we don't want to have the ability in Congress to be able to check said bureaucrat if the bureaucrat wants to say, sorry, you may not be able to do that anymore.
You're exactly right. I mean, we are a representative republic. We all each represent 700,000+ people. And there's been a lot of pushback across this country about this proposed regulation. Proposed regulations ultimately become regulations without congressional pushback like we're seeing today. And so I believe that Congress is representing our constituents who raise the alarm over what appliances they may choose for their home when there's no clear evidence that the appliances that administration is, they're not just nudging us that way, they're shoving us in a certain direction will be more efficient or more cost effective for the consumer. You know, as the gentleman from Kentucky said, you know, you're still going to burn just as much gas to heat a pot of water on a smaller burner as you did on a larger burner. You'll do it more time and it's going to be less efficient. The cost savings are clear that they're not there. So I think you're right. We're pushing back against the administration because we don't have an oligarchy in this country. We don't have a small group of experts that tell a democratic republic like the United States of America, this is what you have to do. We have an elected Congress. Now, we did give the administration through numerous piece of legislation passed before we got here authority to do certain things. But that doesn't limit our ability to represent our constituents when they see this kind of overreach.
I would assume that my friend from South Carolina agrees. I know my friend from Kentucky and South Carolina up here agree, and maybe some others, that this might be why it's wise to vote no on the vast majority of these pieces of legislation that empower said bureaucrats and those down in the administration to do, well, frankly, just about anything at all, but in particular to be able to go down the road of possibly banning a consumer product that has been being used by millions of Americans every day for years. I would quick question. Part of the arguments, right, have to do with, I don't know, internal health and asthma and so forth, because somebody did a study. But to the best of my understanding, that there's no direct correlation or understanding of some sort of causation there. I mean, you know, people have asthma for all literally hundreds, thousands of different reasons. Is that not part of this issue that's being used? And then my question for you is actually more important is, do you think that's actually a ruse for what's really going on here, which is just a quest for the 100% electrification of America, all in pursuit of a agenda?
You're exactly right. I mean, as I pointed out earlier, those that, and I can name some Democrats on our committee that actually said they had gas stoves in their house, they like their stove, but they don't want the average American to have the same stove they have. They like their stove if they're not concerned about the air quality because they're still using older appliances. And look, I think personally that we ought to be exporting more natural gas to help the quality of lives and improve air quality for folks that are using other things to heat their homes or cook their food on and have to cook it that day because they can't have appliances like refrigerators and sometimes propane-powered refrigerators in rural areas that can actually keep food fresh. So this war on fossil fuels is trickling all the way down, my gentleman from Texas, trickling all the way down to the American consumer who's having their choices limited by a government that does not want to use fossil fuels in any shape, form, or fashion at some point in the future.
So last question. I know we're trying to be mindful of time for votes. Is the gentleman aware or does he agree in general with the following rough proposition that while we, this country, continue to pursue and chase the fossil fuelification of this country through massive regulations that are making it impossible, if not, really costly, if not impossible, to build fossil fuel-generated power. That was, in fact, the purpose of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. That was, in fact, the goal by the massive subsidization of the, I'll call it, unreliable energy. That is resulting in grids that are not able to be relied upon by the American people to be sustained. And that while we're doing all of that, at the end of the day right now in China, for example, they are building two new coal-fired plants a week on top of the roughly 1,100 coal-fired plants they have in operation. And then we have about 250 coal-fired plants, gas-fired plants. But in Texas, for example, we're not building gas and coal-fired plants anymore, because of the subsidies being put forward by the federal government. Would the gentleman agree that it is purposeful that the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies is designed with the specific intent of destroying fossil fuel-based energy, and that as a result, the United States will be weaker in terms of national security, weaker in terms of grid reliability, weaker in terms of our ability economically to be in a position to export clean-burning American natural gas, and that as that taken in totality, everything I just said, if the gentleman agrees, that all of this stuff we're talking about here with gas stoves, this is just the ramifications all the way down to a person's kitchen of that same policy that the vast majority of the American people right now going about their daily life have no idea what their government is doing to them and their ability to afford energy and their ability to have human flourishing and exist on this planet that God gave us in a way that will amount to the best life for them and their children. Would the gentleman agree?
If there's a number larger than 100%, I would agree with that number. So I'd say 100% agree with you.
Thank you, gentlemen from South Carolina.
Thank you. Gentleman from New York is recognized for any questions he may have for the panel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Last winter, Winter Storm Elliott hammered.
So on that note, I want to get into some other stuff here. So here's something that I find interesting. I'll go ahead and drop this in our one of our chat rooms here, if I can. This way everybody later can read it. I'm reading off the Daily Wire. This was actually in the Wall Street Journal, but because I'm not paying for fake news, I decided to not pay the allotment on that, so I found a second source instead. So China is building a spy base in Cuba focused on intercepting communications with the United States. I'll just read some of this here. Communist China has reached a deal with Cuba to build an electronic eavesdropping base in the island country about 100 miles off the American coast. The deal, which is worth billions and has been agreed upon in principle, will allow China to construct a facility that can intercept communications in the southeast U.S., home to dozens of military bases. The Chinese spy base could also monitor U.S. ship traffic, the Wall Street Journal reports. National Security Council Speaker John Kirby said he could not speak regarding this, but the planned spy base in Cuba has caused alarm within Brandon's administration. Officials said that the Chinese facility would allow Beijing to monitor emails, phone calls, and satellite transmissions through espionage monitoring known as SIGINT. SIGINT. The report of a potential Chinese spy operation targeting the U.S. from just outside its borders comes as relations between the two world powers continue to deteriorate. So, yeah, well, they did spy balloons and we didn't do anything. Why not, I guess? And what are they going to do? They're going to do nothing. Brandon's probably making money off this. I don't have a way of knowing. I'm just guessing. Why not? Everybody else will make money. Shoot, they might as well just put a base in Washington, D.C. They could put it next to Brandon's house. He wouldn't care. He'd just be happy to take the money. I shared that on my spy book earlier, so if anybody wants it. So here's another one. I'll go ahead and put this on my spy book right now. If we thought that the gene therapies were done, and everybody's dying all over the place, well, guess what? And I'll just share that article. I'll give my second source here on the same article from The Defender. The World Health Organization and the European Union launch a new global vaccine passport initiative. So under the guise of preserving freedom, a digital passport system means restraints on movement and living for the unvaccinated and forced vaccinations only to participate in life. So Monday, they launched a landmark digital health partnership marking the beginning of the World Health Organization's Global Digital Health Certification Network. So you will be required to get your COVID-19 gene therapies in order to do anything. And it doesn't matter that people are dying. It doesn't matter that countries have banned said gene therapies. It doesn't matter if people are still dying on a regular basis about this. If you don't take it, you can't participate. It's the precursor to the microchip, and it doesn't matter what your beliefs are. That's why they want to go after Christians, because they know that you're not going to fall for this. So, and people, I've heard people say, well, that's only in Europe. That's not going to happen here. Yeah, right. Don't forget, they sold us out to the World Health Organization. So they have control over the United States. Don't forget, Brandon signed off on that. So if the World Health Organization says that something has to be done for safety, then guess what? Brandon signed off, so we can go to war on it, maybe, which could happen, unless everybody just rolls over and rolls up their sleeve, which is a distinct possibility also. I just hope some of these celebrities that, like Justin Bieber and company, that have had issues regarding these gene therapies, if they speak up, maybe people will understand. Because right now, it's just people like you and I who are essentially nobodies in this world. And if our family speaks up, then nobody cares. They don't care about the 99%. Other 99% don't care. But they'll listen to Justin Bieber. I can't explain that. But that's how it is. And if nobody speaks up before we get this, then guess what? If they could pass this, and then they can force everybody on the QR code system, and then they're going to say, well, the QR codes, everybody could just share a smartphone, so we need to put this chip in your body, which over the next few years, phones are going to be phased out. You'll just have a chip, and you'll just think about what you want to do, and if you're thinking in your head you're going to call somebody, then you just call them. You have a chip. You have 5G inside you, or 6G by that case. Who knows? And for those that don't think 6G is coming, hey, there are countries that already have it. We're behind. Yeah, for those people that think it's not going to happen, it's coming. They're telling you. It's not going to be in the Wall Street Journal and all these other European newspapers for lies. They're coming. They have the digital passport ready to go. They're telling you. It's in the newspaper. You'll need it to go into that Aldi that I shared with you just a few minutes ago. Is anybody going to care? Wish I could answer that. I can't. I know I care, but will there be enough other people? I don't own a cell phone. I refuse to carry one on my person, and if it comes to the point where I need a cell phone to buy, sell, work, and live, then I just don't buy, sell, work, and live anymore. That's just how it is. All right, let's get into some other news. So the California Senate passes a bill to prevent employees confronting shoplifters. So Senate Bill 553, of course, from a Democrat, They want to address workplace violence and expanding the scope of protection and preventive measures. So if you work in loss prevention, or you work in security, or you're just a regular employee and you catch somebody shoplifting, you just say thank you. So that somehow is going to stop shoplifting. So what's the point of bringing money into a store? They've legalized shoplifting and made it a crime to do anything to stop it. Don't forget those employees a couple weeks ago that were fired at Lululemon because they called the cops and they said it's very unbecoming of an employee to call the police, that if somebody wants to steal, then they can steal. So only in liberal cities can a group of thugs come in and steal thousands of dollars from a store, and the only one that gets in trouble is the employee that calls the police. What stops these people from just renting a U-Haul and then just having a whole team of people just come in and take everything out of the store? They're not going to call the police. They're not allowed. Just think, they can go to Home Depot, rent a truck for what, $19.95, $29.95 or something? And then just take over a store, take as much as they can, because they're not allowed to call the cops. They can't press an alarm. They can't say anything. You may as well come in and say you're under new management. So I don't think that this is going to stop crime. Maybe I'm wrong. But making it a criminal offense for an employee to stop a shoplifter, I just don't see that as a crackdown on crime. I mean, I've been wrong in the past, but I don't think I am here. All right, some other breaking news that took place right before I went on my show today here. So in a world where Marjorie Taylor Greene and many others are putting together articles in regards to Brandon and the millions of dollars of embezzlement, or maybe embezzlement isn't the right word, but the pay-to-play scheme in Ukraine. And so all that is coming to fruition. And as a way to retaliate, they announced that on Tuesday, Trump will be indicted for 7 counts of his handling classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. So you don't go after the guy that was the vice president that had some documents. You pardon him. And of course, you don't go after the guy that had documents as a senator and a vice president, both of which are illegal. You don't do anything about that, but the guy that could legally have them, you're going to go ahead and make something happen there. I want to see what happens next week. I just don't see how this type of election meddling is fully acceptable. All right, let me go ahead and bring Vito in here. I know he wants to jump in.
What's up, Proof? Yeah, Trump has been indicted. He has to go to court on Tuesday, I believe.
To
be officially charged. Yep.
Yeah, so is there something in the Constitution that nobody knew about that said a president can't have classified documents?
Well, from what I heard Mark Levin say, the only one that can have classified documents is the president once he declassifies them. And he could declassify them just by a verbal decree. Yep. This document is now declassified.
Okay.
Nothing about it. Now, apparently, this guy that they brought in, this Jack Smith guy, who's this prosecutor, he has been involved in a couple of other special cases, and he's gotten convictions on them, but they were all at some point overturned. In one case, there was one that went to the Supreme Court that he handled that got overturned. So this guy is not playing by the book.
And I'm just wondering who they have as a judge.
Well, the judge you don't need for a grand jury. But for the arraignment, yeah, there'll be the judge. But still, you know, once you get an indictment, it's almost impossible to get it reversed. You've got to go through the motions now.
No, I realize that. Basically, but what I'm trying to get at here is, just like in New York, with all these sham court cases, I'm wondering if the judge can tell Trump you're not allowed to say you're innocent or not guilty. You're only allowed to say that you are guilty.
He already said he's an innocent man. He put out a press release saying that we have a...
Oh, I know that. But I'm just wondering if they gag him and say he's not allowed to talk.
He cannot say... They cannot keep you from speaking. I know that's what the judge in New York did, but that judge is way out of bounds. You can say whatever you want. You're free to speak as a defendant. You are free to say anything you want. Anything you say can and will be used against it.
Right.
So that judge is completely out of line with what he issued. But,
no, I get that, but regardless of whether you or I think if Trump is told you're not allowed to say you're not guilty. You're only allowed to say, yes, I'm guilty. And he does not abide by that. It doesn't matter our feelings about it. If the judge can arrest him, they will.
That's exactly how they play. You want to talk, say you're guilty. But if not, we don't want to hear you say you're not guilty. Makes no sense.
Yeah, so I'm pretty confident that they would not press this unless they found a liberal judge that could take this case and demand that this get handled a certain way.
Well, I'm sure that they already, I'm sure that they went cherry picking for a judge. And, I don't know how it works. I mean, for search warrants, you could cherry pick a judge. For trials, the cases get assigned to a judge. By some chief judge or whatever it is, it's not up to the prosecutor. It's up to the whoever signs the court case, clerk or whatever it is that oversees the court system. But it'll be interesting, because who was saying? I was listening to Alex Jones today. And they put forth a very interesting scenario. Since Trump is not going to be debating, he said, I'm over 50%. Why should I debate? And the people that they put in there to kneecap Trump, since they won't be able to do it, they had to go to Plan B. you know, there's just craziness going on out there. You know, whatever this prosecutor did or is doing, it will blow back on him. You know, and you know next is going to, I mean, you can indict a ham sandwich. Next is going to be Georgia. Georgia's going to be going after him. This guy's going to have trials all over the place. He's going to be found guilty, not guilty on all of them. You know, the one thing that is still freaks me out is, you know, the civil case that he had where the woman accused him of rape. They didn't believe her, but yet they said that, well, we'll find them guilty of some other sexual crime. But there was no other sexual crime. It was just rape. That's it. They weren't,
right.
You know.
And then, Trump said he's innocent, and now the lady wants to bring him back to court a second time and get more money for that.
Yeah. She's not a kook. Nah, she's not a kook.
Yeah, well, she got money the first
perfectly
time that
normal.
She didn't earn. Why not try it again and run the well dry?
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to get thrown out based on what the jury returned. That verdict was just crazy. Like, she's claiming rape. She's not claiming nothing else. She's not claiming he fondled her. She's not claiming he sodomized her. She's claiming rape. And they didn't believe her. But
in the dressing room
happened.
Of a department store.
You know, that you have, you know, white glove service, basically. And if someone like Trump entered that store, you know that there would be somebody there at his beck and call everywhere he went in that store. So it's all nuts. It's all craziness, man. As far as I'm
concerned. The lengths they go through to make sure that we have devout communism here.
Yeah. Well, this is what they want. I mean, even this thing with Joe Biden. Listen, it's coming out more and more now that the guy was paid off a lot of money. He's compromised. Now we have the Chinese now putting a spy base, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah,
in
I read
Cuba.
That last hour.
Yeah. In Cuba. So what else are they going to put there? 90 miles away, proof. Hypersonic, they have hypersonic missiles. They'll probably reach Washington in a few seconds.
And Brandon probably doesn't know or doesn't care. It's more important to go after January 6th people.
Absolutely. And to go after white supremacy, which doesn't exist. You know, and the funny thing is there was a group out there that they are fighting white supremacy, but they also are anti-Israel. So you're anti-white supremacy, but you're also an anti-Semite, clearly. And nothing from the
is
Jewish
is this funded
community.
By George Soros?
Most likely.
Oh, because that's the only anti-Semite and anti-white person that I know.
Yeah, he's a Jew himself.
Yeah.
You know.
Because if he didn't help execute those people, somebody else would have.
Somebody else would have done it. Yep. Not me, someone else would have, so I might as well add fun. This is one of the most exciting times of my life.
Flip. I want to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. On the FBI and Brandon earlier today in regards to this.
Yeah.
Reading this form today shows the pure distinction. This information, this source that came forward, it's a paid informant by the FBI. This has nothing to do with Giuliani. This has nothing to do with the information that he brought forward in 2020. It's totally separate, and it's extremely credible because he's a paid informant. I made some notes after I left the skiff based on the information, and I'll share that with you guys right now. Basically, what was happening there is back in 2015, 2016,
Burisma was looking to buy a U.S.-based oil and gas company, and this came from being advised by Hunter Biden and his partners. Biden said Shokin was corrupt. That was around the time of this meeting, was when Joe Biden, as vice president, had said that the prosecutor Shokin was corrupt. They hired Hunter on the board to make the problems go away. That's what they specifically said. Hunter advised that they could raise more money if they bought a U.S. company. So the informant was trying to do the right thing and trying to advise Burisma that they shouldn't go this route. They should hire an attorney, work out their problems that they were being investigated for because they were having other legal problems. And that's why they were being investigated by this prosecutor, Shokin. The informant was advising them, don't go this route. Why would you buy another U.S. company while you're under investigation? That's not a good idea. So he's trying to tell them to do the right thing. The owner of Burisma said that Hunter was stupid and that his other business partner was smart. He also said that he paid $5 million to one Biden, and he paid $5 million to another Biden. And it was all a bribery to get Shokin fired and end the investigation into Burisma. He also told the informant this is common practice in Russia and Ukraine. Common practice, it's part of business there, that's how their culture works, that they will pay bribery money in order to get business deals done. And that many businesses, they take that into account. They put it in their budget, basically, when they're preparing to buy another company or start another company. That's just normal. And so over in Ukraine, for them to consider hiring Hunter Biden on the board in order to make their problems go away, which was the prosecutor Shokin, who was investigating Burisma for corruption and legal problems, this was definitely illegal for a vice president of the United States and their family members. The informant had asked the owner of Burisma if he was happy that Trump won, and he said no, he was not happy. Remember, he had invested a lot of money into the Bidens to make his problems go away. But he did say that it would take 10 years for all of us to find out the payments made to the Bidens because of how many bank accounts there were. He said at the time there were no direct payments made to the big guy, but in a meeting later, after he had become more upset as things were unfolding, he told the informant that he has two pieces of evidence showing proof of payment to Hunter and specifically Joe Biden. You see, I think what everyone needs to understand is that business owners, at least most smart ones, whether they're good or bad, whether they perform their business in a legal manner or a corrupt manner, they always keep records of their business payments, accounts and receivables. That's how it's done. And this owner of Burisma kept a record, especially of the bribes. And if you're in an industry where you have to pay bribes to get your business deals done, then you always want to keep a record and keep proof of your bribes because that's how you make sure you get people to follow through on what they're done with. What I read today is again, shocking. Just as what I read in the Treasury Department with all the SARS report is shocking. But we are going to continue following this investigation. We're going to continue to look into every single thing that we can uncover. We need the FBI to keep cooperating with us. That's extremely important. And I have very high expectations of Christopher Wray that he'll do the right thing and continue showing us the information that we're asking for. What I'm upset about, though, is the FBI doesn't think the American people are worthy of this unclassified information. I certainly do. I think the American people deserve to see it and know every single bit of it. That's why when I left the skiff, I made all my notes on this paper here so that I could explain everything to the American people.
All right, so there you go. So Marjorie Taylor Greene's on it.
Well, according to Jamie Raskin, what was in that report is nothing.
Well, that's nothing because Trump isn't in there.
Trump was in there, everything would have been leaked already. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
They would have leaked everything, letter by letter, word by word, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph. They would have done it, and look, what she described, $10 million paid out to the Biden family. A prosecutor needs to look at that because there's just no way that they could, how could you ignore this?
Well, you could ignore it if everybody else is getting paid.
Yeah, but, as a prosecutor, you are the top legal prosecutor and law enforcement officer in this country, U.S. Attorney General. You know, he's basically, he is a communist. Let's agree on that. That much I know without even blinking an eye that Merrick Garland has no regard for the Constitution, but he'll use the laws.
His job is to run cover for the Brandon Crime Syndicate, and he can get his money.
Well, that's exactly what went on. That's exactly what's going on now. That's what it has become. And it is a shame. Really,
so something else that's a shame here, allegedly Jamie Foxx came out and said that him having a stroke and becoming blind for a little bit was fake news.
Well, they're saying it was either a drug overdose or quote unquote vaccine related. So,
Is he going to say he had a drug overdose so that nobody knows about his gene therapy? Is that what he's being paid to say?
Maybe, but I'll go with the vaccine issue. Some people were coming out there saying, yeah, he had a drug problem, we were trying to talk to him. But this came out of, usually something like that is already being discussed. It's already out in the public. It's something that's been going on for a while. This is all vaccine related. There's no doubt.
But why is it that these celebrities refuse to talk about it? What's in it for them?
Why? More work. I'm sure that they realize that if they play, if they toe the line, they'll be looked after. I'm sure that's in the back of their minds. I'm sure that they want to.
But if you're paralyzed and you can't see, how much work you're gonna get?
Well, he did play the part of Ray Charles. Maybe Ray Charles is channeling through him. Oh God, please forgive me. But now he's complete. He's still blind.
He said he's not. I can't confirm that.
Right. But he said he was at one point.
Right.
This is vaccine related. I don't know why. I mean, Eric Clapton, right after he got the vaccine, he went ill, and he said it's the worst thing he ever did in his life was to get that shot. We don't hear much from him, but he came out. He doesn't have to worry about work anymore, so. But he was honest about it. You had that nurse, one of the first nurses in America to get the jab, and she collapsed during the press conference, and they're saying she's dead. She died.
And they roll out someone that looks nothing like her.
Yeah. I mean, how much more do people need to say, really, this is not working good.
This is not something we should, you know, we should reconsider this. But it was forced down the throats of a lot of people. And I'm not one. I did not take it. Yeah, I got a lot went to a lot of COVID testing, but I did not take that jab.
Well, according to the World Health Organization, they're creating they're still rolling out that digital passport where they're going to require everybody to have it in order to leave your house.
Mm-hmm. Well, come lock me up. Come lock me up. Well, I can't leave my house now. Well.
And all those other people out there are going to say, well, at least it's liberal.
No, oh, it's lovely. It's lovely and liberal. It's exactly what they're going to say. You know what my ears.
You
got that
way. I have a 2.5 minute clip I want to play. Then we'll bring Pianchi in here.
Yeah, man.
All right. So let me get this in.
Equal pay. Equal pay. Equal pay.
Equal pay. Equal pay. Equal pay.
But when the U.S. women's soccer team faced off against a bunch of lower league players and middle-aged men from Wrexham, things were anything but equal.
Here's a turnover. Jarvis, there it is. Game over. 12-0, Wrexham defeats the U.S. women.
12-0. 12-0, 39 shots on goal. The game only lasted for 40 minutes. Imagine if it had gone the full 90. 30-0.
Equal pay, do you hear this?
The men dished out the hammering despite basically playing walking football at a snail's pace.
This is all women. Maybe not the scoreline you were wanting to see, but what's your perspective on what's happening right now?
Yeah, listen, we're super proud.
I mean, I guess they should be super proud. Last time something like this happened, they got thrashed by a bunch of 14-year-old boys.
USA, equal pay. USA, equal pay.
Megan Rapinoe was unavailable for comment.
What do you have to say?
I deserve this!
What do you deserve?
I deserve it.
You deserve all of it.
It's almost like there are major fundamental biological differences between males and females. What? Surely not. Let's not forget that this equal pay thing isn't just some funny meme. It is that, but it's also something that Joe Biden incorporated as part of his presidential campaign. He threatened to pull World Cup funding if the women weren't paid as much as the men. 12-0. Kind of suggests, doesn't it, that there's a massive gulf in quality between men and women when it comes to sports. And not only does that render the equal pay argument absurd, but it completely decimates the notion that biological men who identify as women should be allowed anywhere near women's sports. If you really want to help women and smash the patriarchy, maybe stop lobbying for equal pay and start advocating for fairness by not letting dudes who are physically superior in every single metric completely dominate and ruin women's sports. Get early access to videos, exclusive live streams, and personally DM me. You've seen how much I...
All right, anyway, I just wanted to share how badly the women's soccer got beat down.
It's kind of funny, though, that, you know, they want this equal pay stuff, and yet they are not equally talented. They lost to these are professional women players. They lost to a high school boys soccer team. All right, so don't tell me that they're qualified, that they should get the same as the men's side does. Just because the women, you know, amongst themselves, yeah, I mean, you know, amongst cis women, yeah, they're, you know, it's a challenge, but it's a joke. They are a joke. You know, that they lost 14-0, 12 goals in 40 minutes. Come on, man. That is a trashing.
Well, it's liberal, though.
Yeah. Well, listen, with Lionel Messi coming to the U.S., maybe he'll go trans and he could play for them. That might not be a bad idea, Poof.
Yeah, they can get Ronaldo. They can get Messi. They could get a bunch of people.
Well, Ronaldo, see, this is the crazy thing. Ronaldo went to play in he went to play in Saudi Arabia. And I don't know why Messi didn't follow that route. They all thought that that's where he was going to go. And him coming to the U.S. is a little shocking. But, you know, to me, when that happens, you're nothing now more than a has-been. You know, that's where he's going now. So I just hope that I just still hope he has some fire left in his belly. But, you know, then again, he's coming here to the U.S. to play, so it shouldn't be that bad. You know, it shouldn't be that bad for him. You know.
All right, let's see what Pianchi's up to today.
Man, I tell you, I was looking at this Supreme Court ruling on Alabama. And it's redistricting. And the notion is with this NAACP and some of these people that all blacks want to live together. And that's just not the case. And I watch one area in South St. Louis that was predominantly white and blacks started moving into it. And you could take a long street and you have blacks move into homes that became vacant. And basically, like, on one side, a black family, then you go down on the other side, a black family, then you go down on the other side, a black family, you know, back and forth. Depends on the houses that was available. Okay. So here comes the Democrat, and they draw districting lines that go down the street and encompass all the black families and want to put them in a zigzag district, look like snakes. Now, that's totally wrong, I think.
Why are you trying to? Well, they're talking about here, and I don't know how likely it's going to be, Pianchi, but there's an area in Las Vegas that's predominantly black people living there, and they want to give that area its own district.
Yeah, and here we go again, thinking that all blacks are Democrats. Those people that live in that district, although they're black, they may not want to vote Democrat, may not want to be in a black in a Democratic district.
Yeah, but they're willing to take their chances, though.
Yeah, they are, and they are using a tactic of forcefully segregating these blacks into a district, whereas they've moved into a mixed community. That is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. It is.
Yeah, but you know this, Pianchi, being that you're black, and I don't have to tell you how to be black, of course, but it's common knowledge that the poorer you are, if you're black, the more likely you're going to vote Democrat. It's just
right.
Common knowledge.
And that's why I come to school. Yeah, that's why the schools are so bad, because the one means of escaping poverty is a good education. And that's why I come. You got organizations like the NAACP that don't want school choice where you can have functional black family. You know, a black family that's poor, but the parents work with the kids, teach them the things that they need to know, work with their homework, so on, so on, so on. But they go to a school where that's not commonplace. Now, you can't make parents work with their kids, but doggone, the ones that do, they should not have to put their child in a classroom where they are not being able to move forward. They're being held back. And it's getting worse, too. You know why? Because in some of these districts, they're bringing in illegals and putting them in the classroom who can't even speak English.
Yeah, those are the people now moving into the black areas, too. As the blacks get more money and move out of the ghetto, they're bringing in the illegals to take that spot.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, Proof, and my other gentleman, that's what went on in Ferguson, and I use it. Of course, there's other communities, other little communities, but Ferguson is so easily recognized. You had blacks that was living in North St. Louis City in areas like Walnut Park, Penrose Park, the Ville, where Sumner High School is, that Tina Turner attended. Others, they moved and fled those areas and moved to what was called the Ring District, which Ferguson is one, to get away from the crime, high taxes, and everything else. Well, after being there for a while.
Here, Bianchi, I don't know the numbers, but I'm willing to put the under on less than 10 people that live in East St. Louis voted for Trump.
Yeah, but if I'm going to tell you something, Proof. It damn near ain't hardly 10 people that live in East St. Louis. They all don't move, too. You might be right. But that's what I'm saying. These people moved away, moved to Ferguson, and then when you had the riots, they upped and left again. And the sad thing about it, they left their property that they could not benefit or realize the valuation increase, if there was one, because it went down the other way when the neighborhood started going, you know, bonkers. So that forced integration, that's why the NAACP, I'm bet to say, is having a travel ban to Florida, telling blacks don't travel to Florida. Because they leave in places like Chicago, they leave in places like New York, and they going south. And they going to Florida because of low taxes, no income tax, nice weather,
and other things that
don't have the crime, don't have the mandate. You're right. So what do the NAACP do? They say if you move to Florida, you're going to be facing all sort of racism as it applies to you knowing your history. The same thing they done to Missouri. They put out a travel ban on Missouri, saying the blacks, if you travel through Missouri, you stand to be shot and killed by white police. That's what they said. You can look it up.
Crazy.
I'm surprised that they're not saying that this black-on-black crime in Chicago is not due to white supremacy.
Oh, well, they don't even... And see, that's another thing. Those black leaders ignore that. You would think that they were going along with this, what do you want to call it, eugenics? Basically what happened is killing is eugenics. Heck, the past shootings and killings in Chicago ended this Memorial Day. You know how many it was? 3,480 shot in those 364 days with 619 murders. From Memorial Day of 2022 until Memorial Day of 2023, you had 3,480 shot with 619 murders. No white police shot nobody. 2 years before that, you had 4,845 shot with 745 murders. In 2021 to 2022, you had 4,604 shot with 643 murders. It's getting to the point you can't find nobody that ain't been shot in that city.
No. Yeah, pretty much. It's true. Scary stuff, man. I mean, look at the education system in Chicago. They said that 50% of the public schools, of the 50% that are failing, 100% of those, of the students in those 50% of the schools are not reading at their grade level. And they're not going to do nothing to fix it.
They're not reading and not doing math. And as I said before, you got parents that are doing the right thing. You got black parents that are doing the right thing that are just poor for obvious reasons because they didn't get a good education. And then the crime is so bad, businesses, good paying job businesses like Caterpillar are moving.
They're leaving.
They're fleeing. Hell, what, that one Old Navy store has been hit 22 times? Who in the heck could stand that? What kind of business could stand that? Even the damn casket business that sell caskets couldn't stand that.
No.
But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Now, the Alabama legislature's got to redraw a map. I'm going to see what that look like. But this stuff about trying to
now, what concentrate. Was, what was the reason for redrawing the map?
Because they said not enough black people are represented.
Yeah, because some blacks probably moved into a white community, and they were being counted in that white community, and they saying they need to be drawn where you go over there with your snake and grab them, pull them back.
Right.
Now, that's
what
I'm
saying. That's considered racist, but what do I know?
It's under the pretense that all blacks need to live together. It's the same thing with the pretense that all judges, you need to have black judges, a black judge that came from a black area. That's a bunch of bull crap. Judges are supposed to judge the law, not the Constitution.
Exactly.
And until people start, you know what it's going to take? Proof. And I think Louisiana is getting close because they got a bill that's going to allow them to nullify federal law that they think is unconstitutional. It's going to take one state, just one state, to tell the federal government to go pound sand like they did when they came up with the 55 miles an hour speed limit. And you had states say, we ain't going to do it. The only thing the federal government will do then is say we're not going to give you federal funds. But if the state say, well, we are giving you money, we will stop so that you can't say that you're not going to give it back to us. That's what I do. So that's my... That's my thesis.
Yeah.
What I observed. So I don't know. You guys want to add to it? Huh?
All right, Vito. You want to go over?
Well, you had that thing earlier with Tucker Carlson with the pedophilia stuff, and
yeah.
You know, these pedophiles. I mean, bona fide pedophiles. Should not be allowed to roam amongst us. And should not be allowed to go near children. Because that is all they think about is having sex with kids. And they will do whatever they can to get a piece, so to say.
Surprised that they're not trying to pardon Jerry Sandusky. Because now that guy would be as protected as Ray Epps.
Is he still in jail?
Sandusky's still in jail.
Well, you know, not to get off the subject, what do you think about the UK giving its citizens an ultimatum to turn in your ammunition and your guns?
When was this?
I thought it was already illegal there, so I didn't hear that.
You could own long guns in UK. I mean, it's there's a lot you have to go through to get them, but that's all you could really own. I think there might even be single shot, shotguns. That's basically it.
I know they also have drop-off points out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, cause
Newsom wants to limit 28 to the Constitution. To apply to the guns. You want to strip the Second Amendment with Amendment number 28 to further restrict guns.
They want those guns. I'll tell you that right now. They want those guns. There's no doubt in my mind on that. They're going to do everything they can to get those guns, or at least delay you from getting them. Look at New York State. Kathy Hochul, she's putting a plan in place where you have to spend 16 hours a year training on how to shoot a gun. You know, that's basically a weekend. And it's like $400 or $500 a course. So, you know, why should I have to go shoot every year, you know, and spend that kind of money, you know, especially me that I'm a retired law enforcement, well, you know, what's the problem? But we have to also go. So when I'm ready to go, I'll go. You know, but Pennsylvania, there's no problem with Pennsylvania. Although now it's coming out that Fetterman, he would consider, removing the Second Amendment from the Constitution, or banning it or whatever, just total gun control. And Pennsylvania, a lot of people up there love their guns. They love them.
Hey, I forgot for a second. So what's the skies like where you're at?
Where I am at right now, it's dark. I'm in Virginia. I'm in southern Virginia. When I was before sundown, it was a little orangey. You know, it looks like whatever it is that's reaching me down here now. But they're blaming it all on global warming, Poof. All on climate change. Not at all.
All right, let's see what else I can play here. So I want to hear from Cori Bush, actually, speaking of Missouri.
Squad member Cori Bush making some very controversial comments about people opposing woke policies. The Democrat throwing gasoline on an already hot issue. Watch this.
When you say I'm anti-woke, when you talk about wokeness, you're saying I'm anti-black and I don't want black people to speak up for themselves. I don't want equality and justice for black folks. You should be on the side of folks who are woke because we're saying no more oppression against our community. Unless you are saying I'm racist, white supremacist, and I'm bigoted, stop talking about wokeness. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong because I'm from the very movement where this came about. Don't let a fascist tell you what being woke means.
Okay. So it really comes down to this question of what woke is. And I do think that people define it in different ways. So, Harold, I wanted to ask you first, what do you think woke is, and is she defining it correctly?
So I disagree with the Congresswoman for a couple of reasons. First, I have no clue what woke is. I hear people throw it around and use it, and I've said it on this show. I believe that Republicans talk about people being woke. Democrats think of everything as toxic, and then they want to cancel it. I don't even know how to define all of those things. Two, just because you disagree with me on an issue doesn't make you racist. I think we've reached a point in some of our politics and some of the political conversations we have, especially as people get further and further away from one another, depending on the side of the aisle they sit on, that race quickly, almost reflexively gets invoked whenever there's a political conversation. So I don't accept that. Three, I think the universal truth that has to be embraced and has to be talked about more is that we're all part of a human race here. And we can have differing opinions, be it climate change. We can have differing opinions, be it how we educate kids. We can have different opinions and likely should about health care and how we pay our bills as a country. But we've got to understand we're not going to get the solutions if we keep automatically, reflexively, invoking race all the time when it has no bearing or no relevance to what we're talking. So the Congresswoman, I don't know, but I disagree with her.
You know, it's going to be an issue in this GOP nomination process, Jesse, because Ron DeSantis, one of the things that he has deeply ingrained in all of his speeches is that Florida is where woke goes to die. So she's painting it in this light, how do you see it?
Well, if someone ever asks DeSantis to define woke, he better have a good answer.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to define it succinctly. You know, it's that song, Greg, where it's like you think this song is about
Carly
you.
Simon, You're So Vain.
Right. She thinks woke's all about race. It's not. There's so many other factors. You got the radical trans pronouns, people changing in locker rooms. You got attacks on masculinity, attacks on capitalism, attacks on police, attacks on traditional values.
Is this a new political correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's really an attack on my ability to be judgmental. You have to be able to be judgmental in a society and say, this is morally wrong or this is morally right, because if you can't say that, then everything goes, everything's permissible, and it's like cultural relativism. Nothing's better, nothing's worse, everything's just blah, and that's how civilization dies. I do agree with her that we have to stop oppression, but you don't stop oppression by oppressing other people. You don't just bury all the straight white guys and pee on their grave. We can work together to make other people successful. And she does have to acknowledge this. Sometimes where people are is a result of all the decisions that they've made. Some people in society have to take accountability for where they are in society. It's not because they're being oppressed. Maybe it's something that they have done or they have not done. But we do know that in the United States of America, the sky is the limit if you make the right choices.
Well, that's the argument, Judge, that Tim Scott was making. And yep. Sonny Hostin basically said to him, the litmus test is this. Do you believe the country is systemically racist or not?
Right.
Right.
Right. You know, it all comes down to, as everyone has been saying, it all comes down to race. You know, the Dems need to stop acting like they own all the black voters. That because you're black, you're definitely agreeing with them. I think one of the interesting parts of this segment is that there were Muslim children in the schools who were allegedly or claimed to be on the side of white supremacists after they spoke against the sexuality discussions and materials in the classroom. And the Muslim children and their parents didn't want to get involved in this transgender nonsense. And then they call them white supremacists. You should be with us. You should be woke. So I guess it's not just about race. It's also about if you don't agree with everything you say that we're saying, then you're a white supremacist. If you don't agree with transgenderism, you're a white supremacist. But they just – look, Cori Bush herself is someone whose business it is to divide. She's the one who initially wanted to defund all the police. She then used her own campaign money for someone to defend her. I think it was her husband that she gave campaign money to defend her, and he's not a security guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything for me is the way I want it, and you don't matter. But they're wrong. They're just wrong.
Well, I have to commend Harold. I thought your answer was like dead on perfect. And within it, you defined wokeism succinctly, which is seeing everything through the prism of race. Because if you look through the prism of race, then it's oppression politics. One's an oppressor, one's the oppressed. The interesting thing about it, though, is anti-woke, it's not anti-black. It's anti-stupid. I mean, it's anti-woke is anti-stupid. And stupidity knows no color. Because, and you notice this, the loudest, wokest people aren't black, right? They're white female liberals. And I mean, it's my opinion only. I don't have the science, although I probably could find it. I think it's replaced a certain, like, amount of meaning in their lives. This is a replacement for maybe a lack of religion or a lack of family. And that's why clinging to wokeism is so important. But if you, it's like what the judge said, you look at Armenian families, right? You look at Muslim parents, black parents, they're all pissed off. They don't want their kids joining some neo-Marxist cult. They don't want the sisters or perverted indulgence, you know, stripping in their classrooms. It's why you got to look really hard to find a black mugshot in any file on Antifa. They're all really miserable white people who had lousy relationships with their parents and are just troubled people. Wokeism is, in my opinion, anti-black because it relies on this power dynamic model, oppressor versus oppressed, and I can't imagine a worse mindset for success because no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody to blame but you, and that is not a winner. That's a loser. If everywhere you look, it's somebody else's fault, you are a loser.
Yeah.
Blame yourself.
Being woke is an excuse.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to click to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page. This is the only way that I know for sure that you're not going to miss any great commentary, any great news bites, any great interviews coming your way on Fox. You can get it all here on YouTube. So subscribe right now.
Sorry, instead of clicking on getting rid of that, I clicked off my switchboard, so I'm pulling it back up now.
Yeah. Mark Levin tonight, he was discussing this about what is wokeism. And he said it. He said it in two simple words. Wokeism is Marxism. And that's it. Nothing more. And that's what this is all about.
Corey, bunch of crap about this oppression and that, you know, damn oppression going on in North, in her area where she lived. The oppression that's going on is the killing by males that's 15 to 34 that looks like her. That's the problem.
Yeah. And they're not acknowledging
a white person. That, though, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Nope. Proof, if I saw you in North St. Louis, I would throw a net over you and capture you because you would be a rare specimen. You would be a rare specimen on the level of a unicorn.
And then what if I told everybody I voted for Trump?
Well, you better have on your running shoes.
What about a bulletproof vest?
The kids wear them. Kids that walk to school wear bulletproof backpacks.
Yep.
In Chicago.
All they do is put an insert.
It's liberal also.
Yeah, they run,
thing.
They run down the street zigzag. Oh, there's a black conservative that's running against her. Mr. Jones, you want to have him on your show? I know him. I've been knowing him for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, if anybody's going after against the squad member, I'll have him on.
You got to tell me how to get how I can contact you. But he's going to be on Donnie's show. I'm going to try to get him on Donnie's show. UAW show, then won't be this Saturday. Maybe we can try for next Saturday, but in between then, hell, you can come on your show.
Well, you know my email address, don't you?
No, what you could do is text me on this phone number here. It's my cell phone.
That won't work because I don't own a cell phone. But I'll tell you, I tell everybody my email address. It's probably the easiest email you're going to have.
What is it?
Proof@freedomizerradio.com.
At Freedomizer.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll send you the email.
Yeah, proof@freedomizerradio.com. I promise you should be able to remember that. Yeah, I just figured it's unprofessional to have like chunky honey 69 at gmail.com. I'm not going to do that as a radio show host.
Yeah, I was looking at a military march of Chinese women in formation and colorful uniform. And I made the remark that, well, at least they're all biological female. Of course,
right.
Some people got pissed.
Oh,
some people got pissed.
I just remembered something I wanted to share with Vito real quick here. Vito, were you listening to us when I was talking to V last, I think it was last week, where there's videos that have been coming out where if you have a carbohydrate that's cooked, and then you freeze it, and then you heat it back up, that it cuts the glycemic index down?
No, I didn't know that.
So we tried that. I had a piece of carrot cake. So I put it in the freezer for 3 days, took it out, and I put it in my I have a Ninja Foodie, and I put it under the toaster mode for 3.5 minutes. And I ate it. My blood sugar an hour after I ate that was 180. That was pretty high. But an hour and a half later, I was at 109.
And what are you normally at?
130 to 150.
So basically it worked?
Yeah.
Wow, so you took a high-carb food, froze it, and then heated it up, and it turned into a healthy, it helped you out, keep your sugar levels down.
Yeah, I don't know what the freezing and reheating, you can't just freeze it and then let it thaw out, because otherwise ice cream wouldn't spike up your blood sugar, but
no.
You have to toast or heat it back up.
And you can't use the microwave?
I mean, you could, but I don't use microwaves, I guess. So I'm assuming you could. But I just figure a microwave would nuke everything regardless.
Yeah.
Vitamins, sugar, whatever. I figured it's giving you zero nutrients at that point.
Man, you messed up a good piece of carrot cake on that experiment. Oh, my goodness.
On toaster level, yeah. If I didn't do that, I couldn't eat it. So, yeah, I'll throw it in toaster mode. All it has to do is be somewhat warm. It can't be room temperature or cold. It just has to be somewhat warm. So, yeah, I'll happily eat that. And you have to get it to the point where it tastes just like it came out of the oven.
A real carrot cake, a slice, weighs about a half a pound or more, three quarters of a pound.
Oh, I understand that, and I ate the crap out of a carrot cake. Yeah, I just didn't have no two-bite carrot cake, I promise you that.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I went through a dead spot.
That's all right.
See, the thing with me, though, I can't eat carbs. I try to limit them as much as I can.
Well, that's the trick that's for cool. you. And there's videos on YouTube all over the place. All you have to do is freezing, reheating carbs or something like that under a YouTube search.
Mm-hmm.
And you have doctors doing the experiments and telling you how they check their blood sugar. And that's why I checked it an hour after I ate it to see what the blood sugar was starting at its peak. Because
right.
An hour after you eat should be about the highest of where your blood sugar is going to be at. And then it has to work its way down.
And carbs, and you still, the thing is your body's still holding up your carbs. Well, you know what? Your blood sugar is important, though. And it is. So. I mean, I am constantly getting worked on, you know, blood work. So, you know, my blood work always comes back as being as you know, good. When I went to the doctor a couple of years ago, I haven't checked it recently, but I think it's my glycemic levels. You know, I'm a little overweight, and my blood pressure is normal. My cholesterol level is normal. My glycemic levels. The doctor that I had to go see a specialist because they thought I had gout. And you know, even he said I don't see nothing here that indicates you have gout, and all your blood work came back just shockingly good, you know. your glycemic levels, they were the lowest I've ever seen someone have them, he said to me. I've never seen someone have the level this low. And meanwhile, my daughter, who's an RN, she screams at me, says, yep, you got to be pre-diabetic. And this is, I don't think I am. I don't feel it. You know, I mean, another GP that I was using a few years back, he did blood work on me. And he sat there, he's looking at me, he's shaking his head. And I'm like, man, I hope it's nothing bad. And he goes, well, you know, according to your blood work, the exception of your weight, you're my healthiest patient. I'm like, good. Nothing to be concerned over. It's like you had that comedian, Pat Cooper, just recently died. He lives in, I don't know if he died in Vegas. But he was on the Stern show.
When did he go? Because he used to call the show.
He died yesterday.
Oh.
Pat Cooper?
I remember a comedian named Pat Cooper that used to call the show.
Wow, I never knew that. I would have loved to have spoken to him. He was born in Brooklyn. He moved to Vegas, I guess, but he had he's 93 years old. He died yesterday. And yesterday, the day before yesterday. And, Howard Stern was saying to him, I said, Pat, anytime you leave here.
Somebody else. No, I'm thinking of somebody I think named Don Cooper. Never mind. I've heard of Pat Cooper.
You know,
I just got them confused for a second, but yeah.
I mean, he wasn't overly funny, but he was a very high-strung guy, and he was entertaining. And Howard Stern, whenever he was on the Howard Stern show, he was yelling and screaming, and he said, Howard asked him, he said, "You got a good heart?" And he goes, "Yeah." Every time I leave here, "The last time I was here, I went down to Second Avenue. You know, I want to check my blood pressure because I don't want to die on the train. The doctor said my blood pressure is normal." And he's from his father. I found out today his father, because I people who were famous, and I never really researched him. He always said Pat Cooper was his stage name, but his real name is Pasquale Caputo. And I found out today that his father is from my hometown in Italy. And I was like, wow. I would
you
have
were born
loved
in Italy,
to have, well, my parents were. I go there. Right. I go there. I try to go there once a year. I mean, I really do enjoy it there, Poof. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, and everybody there lives an old age. You know, I think it's the fish diet that they're on. All the vegetables that they eat, the fruits and vegetables, that everything is basically grown on a farm that they own. It's a different lifestyle than here. I mean, I have the meat that they sell there. There's two meats. There's beef, regular beef, and yeah, they sell horse meat. And the beef tastes nothing like the beef that you buy here in the U.S. It actually tastes different. I think it's because of all the roids that we give the cattle here. And the horse meat is, I have to admit, it's a different taste from beef. It's not something that would turn you off. It's almost like a gamier meat. And that's the leanest meat I've ever eaten in my life. It is horse meat.
I'll tell you, my favorite restaurant ever, it's no longer in business in St. George, Utah, but there was this place called the Gun Barrel. And I went there a couple times. I had my favorite meal ever from my birthday a couple times. It was a game combo where there were buffalo ribs, an elk. There was ostrich tenderloins, and there was some kind of elk ribeye, I think.
I'm sure that was really good.
It was $48, but it was well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, even now food is getting crazy. An egg sandwich now in a diner in New York. Egg sandwich with ham and cheese. Just a sandwich is almost $12.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, I had gone to London for the first time, and I remember everything there being obscenely expensive. And I remember eating a bowl of pasta for like $22. And I think it was even more than that. And I'm like, I am going to lick this bowl clean. I'm getting every penny's worth out of this bowl, out of this dish.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Vito. I don't remember the last time you went on a Long Island Railroad train, but back in the early to mid-90s, I remember getting a buttered roll and a cup of hot tea for like 90 cents.
Yeah, $1.50, you know, something around that price. Now it's like $10 probably. I haven't been in the city, actually walking in the city in quite a while. But, I was there this past weekend. One of my sons got married, so, I went and had an egg sandwich. I had a bagel with the... I haven't had it with lox. I should have had it with the lox cream cheese, but I had it with the vegetable, with the scallion cream cheese, which is good. And, I miss bagels, man. driving this truck is one thing I don't get to eat that much is bagels.
Hey, I like
good
pumpernickel bagel. That's my favorite bread.
Yeah, pumpernickel is good, too. Every once in a while I'll have a pumpernickel. But I'll go with either garlic or onion bagel. I put a schmear cream cheese on it.
Pumpernickel is pumpernickel is low on the glycemic index.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have the pumpernickel with seeds, too. No, don't they have seeds in the pumpernickel bagel? I haven't had it in a while.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I can eat seeds anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I have to be careful with the seeds. Even when I'm in a diner and I have a hamburger, I if it's got seeds on the bun, I try not to eat that bun. There's one little seed to put me in the hospital.
See, someone diagnosed me with diverticulosis back like 6-7 years ago. I never gave up on any of that stuff.
Yeah, I've had two stints in the hospital because of it. And on the first one, the first time I went in, the doctor said, if you didn't come in when you did, you'd be dead. There's nothing we could have done for you. And I had there's no history of that in my family. The doctor said you probably have, because mine is on the, usually diverticulitis. Is on the descending colon and the sigmoid colon. And with me, it's on the ascending and the transverse colon. As I said, that is almost entirely exclusive to Asian, people of Asian origin. So maybe I got Asian blood in me too. I don't know. But, I spent the first time I spent 10 days in the hospital, and the second one was a week ago last year, and I still think that, because a couple of days before that, I went for colonoscopy, and I went to see a new doctor for the colonoscopy. And I think he may have nicked my insides right in my sigmoid colon. He, there were a couple of spots there. And I think he nicked it with his machine. Because, like I said, I didn't need anything that would have caused it over there. And they were ready to cut me open. I was like, nah, we're not doing surgery here, man. Not now. Ain't going to happen. Not for that, because I got to wear a bag now. Then you got to wear a bag for like 6 weeks. I was talking to a surgeon. They cut it. They dissect. They take out the bag, the infected piece. They can't rejoin the colon for 6 weeks until the two ends are healed up. And then they could join it again. I'm like, I got to wear a bag. Then he goes, yeah. It's like, no, not happening. I'm not wearing a bag.
All right. I'm uploading a clip right now of what Trump said today.
Even the other day, I was home. I was getting ready to go out, and I stopped off at ShopRite to pick up some food for the truck. And
did I lose you again, Vito? Vito's gone again. And I think Bianchi left me too.
No, I'm still here. I was just listening.
Oh, all right. Let me get Vito back in here.
Yeah, I'm back again. I don't know how. I'm on 95, and I'm losing the phone signal. Go figure that out. But I was shopping this Monday. I went to go pick up some food for my truck. A thing of taco bread, Italian sausages. I bought a thing of supersada. I bought a thing of provolone cheese, a wedge of provolone cheese. Some other things I purchased. It came out to almost $100, and I'm like, I cannot believe that this is $100. Things are just so insanely expensive, and nobody's doing. You used to buy water 3 for $10 at a gas station.
Yeah.
You know, 3 24 packs for $10, or 3 12 packs. I forget what it was. I think it was 24 packs. Now they're like $8 a pack. There goes that.
All right, so I want to play that clip that I just uploaded here with Donald Trump talking about the indictment today.
Yeah.
And I never thought anything like this could happen in America. Never thought it could happen. The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it. From the beginning, the Democrats spied on my campaign. Remember that? They attacked me with an onslaught of fraudulent investigations. Russia, Russia, Russia. Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Impeachment hoax number one. Impeachment hoax number two. The illegal and unconstitutional raid on Mar-a-Lago right here. The lying to the FISA courts, the FBI and DOJ relentlessly pursuing Republicans. The unconstitutional changes to election laws by not getting approvals from state legislators. And just recently, the FBI and DOJ in collusion with Twitter and Facebook in order not to say anything bad about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, which exposes the Biden family as criminals and which, according to the pollsters, would have made a 17-point difference in the election result. We needed a lot less than that, like about 16.9. It would have been in our favor, not my favor, our favor, because our country is going to hell. And we remember the 51 intelligence agents who said Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. It didn't exist. It was Russian disinformation. Remember that? And that was all confirmed strongly by the FBI, when they all knew that it wasn't Russian disinformation. And so much more. Our elections were like those of a third world country. And now this massive election interference at a scale never seen before in our country, beginning with the radical left, George Soros-backed prosecutor Alvin Bragg of New York, who campaigned on the fact that he would get President Trump. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. This is a guy campaigning. You want to get President Trump at any cost, and this before he knew anything about me, didn't know a thing about me. He was campaigning. As it turns out, virtually everybody that has looked at this case, including rhinos and even hardcore Democrats, say there is no crime and that it should never have been brought. Never have been brought. Everybody. Even people that aren't big fans have said it. They said this is not the right thing to do. It's an insult to our country, as the world is already laughing at us for so many other reasons, like our open borders, our incompetent withdrawal from Afghanistan, where we left behind American citizens, $85 billion worth of the best military equipment in the world, lost 13 magnificent young lives and far too many to mention that are so badly hurt with the loss of arms and legs and facial obliteration. The most embarrassing time in our country's history, in my opinion. Then our give up on energy independence and even energy dominant. We're going to be dominant within 6 months, more than any other nation times two. We had this all just 3 years ago, our raging crime statistics, if you look in Democrat-run cities, numbers the likes of which we have never seen before, the open threats by various countries of the use of nuclear weapons, something never mentioned or discussed by outside nations during the Trump administration, and which could very well lead under the Biden administration's leadership to an all-out nuclear World War III can happen. We're not very far away from it, believe it or not. An economy that has been crippled by the biggest inflation we have seen in more than 60 years, and a military that I used to defeat ISIS in 4 weeks. They said it would take 4 years, 4 weeks, to kill al-Baghdadi and Soleimani, that has now gone woke at the top levels by trying to indoctrinate everyone down to the lowest ranking patriot. But now they have really stepped up their efforts by indicting the 45th president of the United States, who received $75 million votes, which is more than any sitting president in the history of our country. And in the wings, they've got a local racist Democrat district attorney in Atlanta who is doing everything in her power to indict me over an absolutely perfect phone call, even more perfect than the one I made with the president of Ukraine. Remember, I kept saying that's a perfect call. This one was more perfect. Nobody said, sir, you shouldn't say that. Many people on the phone or hung up in disgust because of something I inappropriately said, because nothing was said wrong. In fact, at the end of the call, we agreed to continue our conversation about election fraud, and election fraud specifically in Georgia, at a later time. Many people on the phone, including lots of lawyers, nobody found anything wrong with that perfect call until a book promotion tour many months later. All of a sudden, they said, you know, I remember Trump making a call. Let's look at that. This fake case was brought only to interfere with the upcoming 2024 election, and it should be dropped immediately. Immediately. Then you have a radical left lunatic known as a bomb thrower who is harassing hundreds of my people day after day, over the boxes hoax. You know the boxes hoax, as we call it. Just so everyone knows, I come under what's known as the Presidential Records Act, which was designed and approved by Congress long ago just for this reason. Under the Act, I'm supposed to negotiate with NARA, the National Archives and Records Administration, which as of this date is a radical left troublemaking organization that red flags the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights as dangerous and triggering. Can you imagine? This is what we have to deal with. But there is no criminality under the Presidential Records Act. That is not what it's all about. We were negotiating in very good faith, proper way, in order to return some or all of the documents that I openly and in very plain sight brought with me to Mar-a-Lago from our beautiful White House, just as virtually every other president has done in the past. When FBI and DOJ officials with NARA were here, I told my lawyer to show them the very secure storage room in which they were locked. The FBI's sole request in writing was, could you please put another lock on the door? We immediately complied. It's a lot different than the Biden situation, isn't it? The next thing I know, we were raided by many gun-toting FBI agents who took whatever they wanted, including my passports and medical records. Everybody was in shock. Nobody had ever heard of such a raid before. Can't even believe it. Who would think that that could happen today? I immediately thought of the Fourth Amendment that protects against unreasonable search and seizure. But they did it anyway because our justice system has become lawless. They're using it now, in addition to everything else, to win elections. Apparently, they're not looking at me through the view of the non-criminal Presidential Records Act. They came up with a new one. This is a new one. And they're looking at me through the Espionage Act. Think of that. How does that sound? Of 1917, where the penalty is death. Even though that has absolutely nothing to do with openly taking boxes of documents and mostly clothing and other things to my home, which President Obama has done, the Bushes have done, Jimmy Carter has done, Ronald Reagan has done. Everybody's done. In fact, Hillary Clinton got rid of 33,000 emails, and that was okay. But nobody's done it like Joe Biden. This lunatic special prosecutor named Jack Smith, I wonder what it was prior to a change, who others of his ilk say he's even worse than they are, is only looking at Trump, yet Joe Biden took massive amounts more documents, even removed many boxes to Chinatown. You believe that? Just got $10 million from China. Where did that come from? I guess they were banking on Hunter's expertise and had others stored in unsecured offices in Pennsylvania and strewn all over his garage floor where his now very famous Corvette is also stored. All over the floor, including classified documents. But that's okay. Perhaps most importantly, he has 1,850 boxes in Delaware, which he is refusing to give up. But isn't that real obstruction? That's obstruction. As president, I have the right to declassify documents. And the process is automatic if I take them with me. It's automatic. Declassify. Biden was vice president. He had absolutely no right to declassify as vice president. He doesn't come under the non-criminal Presidential Records Act. He comes under the very criminal Federal Records Act, unfortunately for him, but it's not going to matter because they don't follow the law, which has very severe penalties. He had classified documents that he took while he was a senator, which is absolutely inexcusable. And other senators, including Democrats, are outraged. but he's not being harassed and hounded like the people who work for me are. In fact, they seem to have forgotten about his documents entirely. So many thousands and thousands. It's okay with him. They like to say that I'm obstructing, which I'm not, because I was working with NARA very nicely until the raid on my home. But Biden is obstructing by making it impossible to get the 1,850 boxes or explain why many documents were located in Chinatown. Can't explain it. Why were they in Chinatown? I don't know. Lastly, I'm under investigation. This time a civil investigation by another racist in reverse who also campaigned on, I will get Trump. I will get him. This was her campaign. Never ran for office. I will get him. Her name is Letitia James. And she proclaimed while campaigning, quote, I look forward to going into the office of the Attorney General every single day, suing him, and then going home. Before she knew me. She announced, what is fueling my soul right now is Trump. And that she had her eyes on Trump Tower. Those eyes are focused on Trump Tower. Didn't know the young lady. She even assured her supporters in an election promise that we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He's going to know my name personally. And then she claimed that I was an illegitimate president. Think of it. With all we did on energy, with all we did on the military, on taxes, biggest tax cuts in history, biggest regulation cuts in history, right to try, people able to get drugs now that aren't approved. Hopefully you don't have that problem. Letitia James vowed to use every area of the law to, quote, investigate President Trump and his business transactions. Those transactions are going to be investigated, she said. And that of her family and his family, because we're going after his family, and we're going after them hard. This is all before entering office and all before knowing anything at all about me. But you're going to get me. This is why, along with unrelenting crime, so many people and companies are leaving New York. She said that I falsified my financial statements, but in fact we're proving and will prove that my financial statements were substantially more than we submitted, not less. And in all cases have a strong disclaimer clause in them, which tells the institutions that may look at that if they want to, not to rely on the statement. But they've got a problem with their case because, number one, I'm very underleveraged. They can't believe it, all the stuff they read and gave. And have very little debt relative to the value of assets. And importantly, not one bank has lost even $1. She was investigating me to save banks. They have very good lawyers. But they didn't lose a dollar with us during this period of time. In fact, the banks we're talking about made almost $200 million off Donald Trump, and they liked me very much. We never missed a payment, never got a default notice, had a great relationship with all of them. I don't need banks. We have a lot of cash. Built a great business with my family. Built a fantastic business.
I'll go ahead and cut that there. So, Vito, I think you heard most of it.
Yeah. It's just a shame that this is an innocent. Listen, I believe in an innocent man. They are persecuting an innocent man. And they are going to turn him into Jesus Christ. You watch.
Be the next I'm just wondering Jesus Christ how many people are going to vote for him after seeing him just get run into one trial after another. And then you have fools like Asa Hutchinson saying, well, he's involved in a few trials, so he should bow out of the race and let someone like me win.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Like someone actually is interested in Asa Hutchinson. I'll say right now, and I'm willing to bet $10,000 of Pianchi's money that the combination of Asa Hutchinson, Mike Pence, and Chris Christie is polling at a combined 1% between the three of them.
Yeah.
They probably each have a third of 1% of people that would vote for them.
Man, they're there for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah, just to try and get some sound bites in.
That's it. They're there for the drive-by. That's all they're there for. And see who they could take out. You know that's what's happened.
So Mike Pence today said that absolutely zero pardons for anybody on January 6th.
He just lost. He lost a lot of votes. And that's proof that he's a part of this system.
Mm-hmm.
That's the killer of it, man. It's like when Reagan was running, and he had Bush as his running mate. I believe he was told, you're going to take Bush as your running mate. And that's what happened. Bush was just there to make sure everything was done right.
Yeah.
What they're doing to him is just so wrong. People are only going to stand for this for so much longer. That's the other thing.
Well, it depends. Because if we don't stand up, then we're going to have nothing pretty soon.
Man, they're going to want there's people out there, man. I'm telling you, anything happens with Trump, they are waiting. And then if anything, God forbid, happens to him, that's it. That's the jump off point. Let's see what they do. Oh, my God. And I'm still like to see how
this
Greg.
Did you know that Kroger's CEO is firing people if they don't want to wear the rainbow flags as pins on their shirts for the month of June?
Culver's?
No, Kroger, the grocery store.
Kroger, really? Interesting. The Kroger right in Virginia, right near where I was training last year. You don't want to wear the pin. You don't have to wear the pin. You don't got to wear that pin to show, whether you support, right? If you support, you don't have to prove that you support homosexuals, but this stuff has gone way off the charts here now. I mean, they have trans people now, child molesters. They're saying that a 2-year-old, is expressing interest in getting transgendered, and you're going to tell me a 2-year-old, someone that's not even potty trained yet, is capable of making that kind of a decision, this discussion with you? Nuts? They are crazy. They are crazy.
Well, if a pedophile is going to get away with it, they have to try now. Otherwise, they're not going to have that opportunity later.
Yeah, so Pence said he will not pardon anyone from the January 6th. What a joke.
Right.
What a joke he's turned into.
Yeah, he is going to do exactly how good that that Michael Bloomberg did last year or 3 years ago on the Democrat side.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
I've never seen somebody look so pathetic as Michael Bloomberg.
Well,
even
you know,
de Blasio was better than him.
I hate de Blasio.
Oh, I understand.
I hate it. I put Bloomberg way ahead of de Blasio.
Not during that campaign, though. If you saw those pictures of him manhandling that pizza and touching all this other stuff, he didn't even look like he was human at that point.
Right.
He looked like he's never been around a human in his life.
Nope. Probably hasn't. So to speak. You know, but Bloomberg, you know, I mean, he just took what Giuliani did and ran with it. You know, he's a Soros stooge, the scent.
Well, these people don't think they have the money, so they could just act however they want. And the peons will listen to them because they don't have the money. So that's what they believe in.
Yeah. It's just true.
Right, let me see if my Tom Cotton and Kroger CEO clip is ready yet. Yeah, I want to play this.
By the way, would you like to offer an apology here to Brenda Lawson and Trudy Rickard for the ordeal they went through? I want to address Kroger's workforce practices and specifically how you accommodate or how you treat requests for accommodation. Let's suppose hypothetically that Kroger had a vegan worker with strong ethical beliefs about animal welfare. If she requested to work outside, say, the butcher department and instead in the produce department, would Kroger accommodate that request?
Thank you, Senator, for the question. And it's one of the nice things about one of our retail stores. There's many different areas. And we routinely have people transferring between departments. Some of that is just personal interest. Some of that is to grow in their own personal career. And if you look at our store directors, 70% of our store directors started out as an hourly associate. So it's easy to accommodate somebody, and that accommodation is really based on their own desires and their own interests.
Would you make such accommodations based on their Christian beliefs as well?
We would not get involved in terms of religious beliefs.
Okay. The reason I ask is that you recently agreed to pay $180,000 to settle a religious discrimination case in Conway, Arkansas. In that case, two Kroger employees, Brenda Lawson, age 72, and Trudy Rickard, age 57, declined the directive to begin wearing a new store apron with a multicolored heart symbol on it. They, like many other of your employees, felt uncomfortable with the new aprons because they thought the heart resembled a gay pride symbol. Rather than make accommodations, Kroger fired these two employees. One employee simply asked to cover the symbol with a name tag, but Kroger refused even that reasonable accommodation. Are you aware of these terminations, Mr. McMullen?
Senator, I am not.
This was not a private lawsuit either by two disgruntled employees, Mr. Mullen. This was brought by the EEOC. So are you not aware when you're company is sued for religious discrimination by the United States government?
No, sir, I am not. Not always.
Well, I'm disappointed by that. Are you aware that, Mr. McMullen, are you aware that Kroger has something called an allyship guide for its employees?
Yes, Senator.
Okay. In the allyship guide, you direct employees to stop using sir and ma'am because they're not inclusive. Do you expect 72-year-old employees in rural areas of Arkansas to really stop using words like sir and ma'am?
If you look at our allyship guide overall, it's trying to support our associates in going forward and trying to be inclusive for everybody with all different beliefs. And when you look at our associate resource group, our associate resource groups were created several years ago for people with different types of interests. And we think it's incredibly important to be an inclusive opening culture to welcome all associates.
If employees in your stores in rural Arkansas refer to other employees or customers as sir as ma'am, do they face disciplinary action?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. I would have to ask.
Are you still requiring employees to wear the apron with the rainbow heart symbol on it?
Yeah, if you look at this, we put in place an apron several years ago because our associates wanted to have a common dress code. The heart is the symbol of art. The Kroger's fundamental purpose is to feed the human spirit. And part of feeding the human spirit is the heart. And that heart is our fundamental strategy to support our purpose. The colors were not tied to any specific thing.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that because it was introduced during Pride Month as a supposed sign of inclusivity, and a federal judge didn't agree with it either. That's why he rejected your company's motion for summary judgment, and you just paid $180,000 to two employees that you wrongly terminated. By the way, would you like to offer an apology here to Brenda Lawson and Trudy Rickard for the ordeal they went through?
I would need to understand more of the details, Senator. Thank you.
Okay. So is it the case that you are still requiring all employees without accommodation to wear this apron with the rainbow heart?
If you look at the our apron would be required for all associates to wear consistently across the company.
Does it or does it not still include the symbol for which you just paid $180,000 to settle an EEOC lawsuit against your company?
It would include a heart on it, Senator.
And having settled that lawsuit, are you now going to grant accommodations to employees who don't wish to display a symbol that they may perceive as not aligned with their moral and Christian views?
Senator, I will thank you for the question. I will need to follow back up with our team with more of the details.
If this merger goes through, who's going to be making decisions about uniforms in the combined company and whether to grant reasonable accommodations?
If you look on, in terms of our fundamental uniform that was put in place, our associate resource groups worked together in terms of designing the uniform, and we would use the same type of approach on a combined company basis.
Okay. You know, this situation reminds me a little bit of the situation big tech companies have found themselves in recent years. They've come to Washington because they fear regulation from our Democratic friends or action by the Biden administration, and they expect Republicans who are traditionally more supportive of free enterprise to come to their defense. And I've cautioned them for years that if they silence conservatives and center-right voters across the country, if they discriminate against them in their company, they probably shouldn't come and ask Republican senators to carry the water for them whenever our Democratic friends want to regulate them or block their mergers. So I've heard a lot of questioning about that today, and I've read a lot about it in the news. And I'll say this. I'm sorry that's happening to you. Best of luck.
So who's Kroger merging with?
They're trying to acquire Albertsons.
Aha. I don't know of any Albertsons, so.
Well, they're primarily on the West Coast now. They've gotten out of the southern or the southeastern market for the most part.
Aha. Yeah, it was interesting. I was listening to Josh Hawley interview for confirmation hearing some woman that was trying to get to be a judge, and she basically was defending the city of Washington. I think Bowser is from Washington D.C. I could be wrong.
Yes.
She was during the COVID lockdown. She shut down the churches, but yet was allowing people to go out and protest. And the Supreme Court over, I believe it was the Supreme Court that overruled the city's rule of, you know, nobody going to church because, you know, you're going to get caught, you might get COVID. And this woman was being so evasive, man. She wouldn't answer a question honestly, you know. And we all know the answer. The judge deems it to be illegal. Don't come up with some BS excuse as to, well, you know, we didn't put it this way, we didn't do it that way. You know, it was just, it wasn't right, you know, to hear her speak. And this is a woman who's going to be a judge. You know, just didn't make any sense. She knew the outcome of the case, but she came up with some BS excuse.
All right, I got a couple of Dan Bongino's I want to play. They're not that long, but I want to get them in.
Yeah.
So I'll get one in, and then we can talk, and then get the other one in. All right, just have to refresh my screen so they're up here. All right.
Don't make this mistake. Please follow me here, folks. I know I'm a little excited today, a couple too many blackout coffees today. This is really important you understand this. It is convenient even for me at times in the conservative movement to want to make the left look like perbs. And a lot of them are. I'm not suggesting there are people in the movement aren't taking advantage of this. Please. But the organized left, the rank-and-file communists in amongst the left, the ideological left, not all Democrats, but the ideological left, they are not doing this out of sexual desire for kids. There's a temptation to say that because you hate what they're doing so much, you want to expose the darkest side of them, and that's it. And again, there are people in it for that reason. But that is not why the tactical communist is doing this. That video should make it crystal clear. It is meant to confuse these kids about everything they thought was safe. Here, I'll give you a perfect example of what I mean. I hate to say it. Anytime you cite your education, you sound like a total asshole, but just forgive me for a moment. I did a graduate degree in psychology. Nobody cares. I don't care. It was a long time ago, but I enjoyed it. I actually paid attention in school. You look at the data and the research with kids around their parents, and you'll find out that kids misbehave more around their moms and dads. That doesn't make any sense. Why is that? You're telling me the people they love on the planet more than anyone, they misbehave more around. Why is that? Anyone in the chat know? Because they love them more than anything else. Well, that doesn't make them. Why would they be misbehaving? They love them so much they feel safe around them. They feel safe around them. And it allows their kind of young id, ego, and superego, although I'm not a Freudian, to kind of come out. And sometimes they'll act out. They won't do that around a stranger because they are unsure of what the stranger will do. The stranger could whip off a belt and smack them in the face. The stranger could kidnap them and do something dangerous. They don't feel that way around their parents. There's a sense of the nest and safety and security. The communist hates that because if you trust them, you're also more receptive to information. So when your parents tell you that, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ, or if you're Jewish, we believe in God, or we believe in you're in Islam, you believe in the Prophet Muhammad or whatever it is, and whatever set of objective values, those values compete with government. It's why the government hates religion. They need the kids confused and not trusting the parents. Oh, mom, why do I have a dad? I watched the video. It said Lucy has two moms instead. But they need them confused, and sex is the perfect tool. Folks, think tactically, and you'll be a step ahead of these people all the time. All the time. Don't get suckered into simple thinking. Oh, they're just pervs. Many are, but that's not why they're doing this. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please.
All right. So that's part one. I'll get part two out of the way, Vito.
We always put the puzzle pieces together here, folks. We connect the dots for you right here. delivered like a bunt. Remember a big fat Greek wedding? It's a bunt, a bunt. We're bunting for you right here. In that case, it was a cake. In this case, it's a ground ball. This is from January of 2023. CNN. Exclusive. U.S. intelligence materials related to Ukraine, Iran, and United Kingdom found in Biden's private office, source tells CNN. Well, that's kind of weird. So let's reverse engineer this. They find documents in Biden's office related to Ukraine. There's an allegation of a $5 million bribe from Ukraine. Isn't that special, church lady style? So in that private office in the Penn Biden Center, who exactly was in charge of the Penn Biden Center? Oh, look, the AP. Notice we're using left-leaning sources in case your leftist friends jump on. It's a conspiracy theory. Just open your eyes, dumbass. It's right in front of you. Here's the scandal. Associated Press. Classified documents probe pushes Biden think tank into spotlight. This is the private office they're talking about at the Penn Biden Center. Oh, who was in charge of it as the managing director? Oh, that's so interesting. The Secretary of State, current Anthony Blinken, he was in charge? Oh, and then who else took over?
Oh, man.
Well, Michael Carpenter had the managing director's role before he was named U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Hidden in the office. The Penn Biden Center? Documents on Ukraine? While Biden's alleged to have taken a $5 million bribe from Ukraine, it's almost as if the documents they were squirreling away in his office, that they understood these documents can tie Biden to a $5 million bribe and therefore squirreled them away in the office. It's almost as if as well that this alleged FBI informant who appears to be out there, the respected informant we paid in the past, who blew the whistle on this $5 million bribe, it's almost as if he may have told the FBI and others that there were documents in Biden's office that may lead to at the end of this rainbow with a pot of gold, indicating Joe Biden and the Biden Inc. family had a $5 million pot of gold. Do I know that for sure? To be fair, I'm speculating. But if you think for a second the Biden team just voluntarily turned over these documents, oh, look, we found classified documents on Ukraine in our Penn Biden Center office, you're crazy. You should seek psychopathological assistance immediately. Now, I'm playing this for you again so you understand the depth of what's going on. Collusion, they flipped it. Quid pro quos, they flipped it. This classified document scandal, they're flipping it to charge Trump to get you off the real scandal. The classified document scandal is related to the quid pro quo. Biden took $5 million in a quid pro quo, and I believe the documents prove it happened. They probably are the background classified documents on Biden's decision to open up Ukrainian natural gas in exchange for money while his son was on the board of a Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma. Now, when a prosecutor over there tried to look into this, Biden had the guy fired. This idiot admitted to it on tape. I'm going to play this for you again, but I want you to pay attention to the end. Not only does Joe Biden admit to getting the prosecutor looking into this and probably the bribe too fired, but at the end, he says something. He says, oh, Michael Carpenter, the guy running the office where the documents were found on Ukraine, he's right up on stage the whole time. And Biden's like, oh, yeah, Michael knows. Take a look.
There's another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, nah, I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. Well, they made some genuine substantial changes institutionally and with people. But in one of the three institutions, there's now some backsliding.
The courts are
there. Yes. And they had made that commitment that they wouldn't do that. And so when we left, the first thing I spent a lot of time, as did Mike, because this was his territory, people like Charlie Kupchan and Victoria. Anyway.
Folks, this is probably the most damning piece of evidence against Joe Biden. Put it all together and now you'll see why the FBI is engaged in a massive cover-up scandal to protect Obama and Biden. Obama appoints Biden as the point man on Ukraine. Biden's son gets a job right after that with Ukraine and natural gas. Biden's alleged to have taken $5 million in exchange for a policy decision to enrich the same company in Ukraine with natural gas and more natural gas money from the U.S. taxpayer that enriches his son. A prosecutor finds out about it. The prosecutor, connect all the dots. The prosecutor then gets fired on Biden's command, finds out about the Hunter Biden and the money laundering and bribery scheme. Michael Carpenter, who's on the stage, knows about it or must know about it. He's right there. He heard it live time. Michael Carpenter then gets appointed the managing director of the Penn Biden Center, where they find documents on Ukraine, trying to squirrel them away. Does that not put this whole thing together? Now do you see why they're going after Trump for classified documents? It's nothing more than a flipperoo.
Son of
collusion
a bitch.
Son of a bitch. It's quid pro quo all over again. Collusion all over again. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble.
All right. So, Vito, nothing there that we haven't heard before, except now it's
no,
more
nothing,
mainstream.
No, but it's just, yeah, it's just shocking that he was allowed to speak like that, doing what he was doing.
Though.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene confronted him, and he said he never said that.
He never said what?
Where's the evidence that he said it? That's how out of touch
what,
they
the,
are.
The... Wow. Well, people believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he says
people
he never said
him,
that,
yeah.
And there's no evidence.
Wow. Just incredible. It is incredible proof.
Yeah, well, that translates to me like, hey, I have the entire legal system on my side because I'm paying as much money as they ever could want, so you can't do squat. Now that's all I hear out of it.
Yeah. Well.
Merrick Garland ain't crap. All his job is to run defense.
That's it. His position was redefined.
In football, Merrick Garland would be considered the right tackle so that Brandon could play quarterback.
Mm.
That's all he is. That's just like Blinken as a guard. Comey, I guess, would be the center. He hikes the ball to Brandon. Or you could put Susan Rice in that spot, I guess. That's all it is. And then you got Coach Barry Sotaro and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady. I can't miss saying that on this show.
No, you never miss an opportunity with that.
Oh, even in my cartoons now, I throw that in there.
So cool.
So where are you heading to this week? What stops you at?
I'm just heading up to York, Pennsylvania. Got to be there by like 1:30, 1:40. Went to a little traffic down south. So, it was a 1 o'clock delivery.
It's
but
about
1:40
in the morning or in the afternoon?
No, a.m.
Oh, you've got to be there in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I'm 88 miles out, so I'll be there by 1. I was supposed to be there by 1. Traffic slowed me down. I had a... I changed it to 145, but I'll probably get there before then.
Okay.
You know, it's not bad. I got nothing but Campbell's soup in my truck.
Okay.
42,000.
Nothing but
bioengineered
soup.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, so after next week, I'm on vacation for a few days. We're heading down to Phoenix.
Okay, I was going to say, you're going away. Phoenix is nice.
Well, the outskirts of Phoenix,
is nice.
Not Phoenix directly, but we're going to go
visit
some
friends.
Yeah,
the city of Phoenix is the you know the business part is not.
Well,
not,
we are going to a baseball game, so we will be in Phoenix downtown, I guess.
Good. Very good. Very good, because you should check out. I love that stadium.
Hey, the Golden Knights lost today. The Panthers won a game.
Okay. Oh, I think that's going to go all the way to 7 games.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I said in my head it's going 5, so I figured they'd win 1 game at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 7-game.
But the Knights lost 3-2, so it wasn't like they got blown out. They were up 2-1 in the middle of the third period, and they gave up 2 goals.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, I mean, look, if the Knights are for real, the way they played the first 2 games, you know, whatever mistakes they made the third game, they'll realize them, they'll understand them, they will learn not to make them again, and they will, you know, that should give them a game three.
Game four
win.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, I bought a bottle of Dom Perignon this weekend.
Okay.
And it tastes, you know, I mean, I bought a bottle of Dom Perignon and a bottle of Bollinger's. And, you know, compared to the Moet that I've been used to drinking, way different taste. A little drier, but it's smoother, though. If that makes sense.
I know that's a conversation that I know nothing about.
Yeah. Yeah, the champagne, usually the champagne has got, you know, I'm used to drinking sweet champagne. And this was like a drier champagne. And, you know, it tasted, you know, just because it didn't have all the sweetness in it. It still did taste good, you know, when it was going down the palate. It was interesting.
So you gonna have any chance to get to? Well, you probably won't be going to Culver's anytime soon.
Not unless they send me south or west. I thought I was gonna hit a Culver's. Because I had to go down to North Carolina to pick something up, and I thought I was going to pass by a Culver's on the way down, but no, didn't see anything.
Okay. Hey, I got you looking for it now, though.
That's cool. Yeah, I am keeping an eye out for it. That is for sure.
Now, that's as everybody should know, that's my favorite fast food place in the United States.
Yeah, they got their meat and their bread is... It's done right. I don't know where they get the bread from, but it's done right.
We have to leave it there, though, Vito, where our shift is over. So, happy driving. Everyone else,
yeah, man.
Please support the other shows on the network. I will be guest hosting the VIL radio show on Saturday afternoon. You want to check that out. Other than that, I'll be back Monday. Please support the other shows on Freedomizer over the weekend.
No. Yeah.